Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, we'll pick up where we were last week. Matthew 11, verse 1 through 6. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence or from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou or are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Heavenly Father, help us today to understand your word. And Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a lot of ground to cover. I've got 4 pages of notes, and I'd like to try to get through them. Now, this part about John the Baptist, we spent 68 lessons, and it was probably a year or two, however long it took. And I don't want to go over that again, but I'm trying to study the book of Matthew, and we're on chapter 11, and this is what it is. And I apologize, but I don't apologize. I have to go over it again. And again, we've been over this. John finds himself, after obeying the Lord and doing exactly what the Father said, and identifying Christ when he stepped up, he walked in obedience, and yet he's in prison, and he doesn't understand. And this is a common thing. We'll see that the disciples, they misunderstood. They didn't understand Calvary. They thought that when the Messiah came, they'd go straight into the millennium. But as we know, he came once, the first time, to die on the cross. And then the second time he comes, hey, we're in the millennium. And that's the way it is. And they didn't understand. And John didn't understand. Hey, I did everything right. We're going to be in the millennium. The Messiah's here, but why am I in jail? He didn't understand suffering. And to take a few minutes, we'll reiterate it again. And I'm going to pull from a passage a little further down, verse 13 through 15. The whole chapter pretty much is about John and Elijah and what have you, so I'm just going to arrange it the best I can, but we'll see these verses again later. Mark chapter 9. And they asked him, saying, Why do the scribes say that Elias or Elijah must first come? And again, we've been over this. But Jesus said, of course Elijah comes first, and he'll restore all things, and etc., and etc. But he goes on, and he says, and how it is written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things and be set at naught, or crucified. But I say unto you that Elijah indeed has come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed or whatever they wanted to do, as it is written of him. And you may read this passage by itself and conclude that Elias or Elijah is Christ. But he lumps Elijah and himself, or John the Baptist and himself, together, it seems. John is suffering in prison, but then he goes to talk about himself, the Son of Man, and then he says, he, whoever he is, suffers many things and be set at naught. And reading it by itself, you may get confused. But Matthew chapter 17, verse 12, he's talking about the same subject. And he says, but I say unto you that Elias or Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. So this clears it up. And again, we've been over this before. John is suffering in prison, but John and Jesus, their ministries are linked, but then he talks about himself, how he would go to the cross. And further down in this chapter, Matthew chapter 11, and we'll get to it next week or whatever, verse 13 through 15, it says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you'll receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. That John the Baptist, as it says in Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, comes as Elijah in fulfillment of the book of Malachi. And again, we've gone over this before, but you have to read all of the passages to make sure you understand all of what it's saying. But I want to draw your attention back in Mark chapter 9, verse 13. It says, but I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they've done unto him whatever they wanted, as it is written of him. As it is written of him. We understand that John came as Elijah, but if you look at the life of Elijah, you see that he was a great prophet. He was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Great things, but he suffered and feared for his life. In 1 Kings chapter 18, that great chapter, it tells the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And there was this double opinion. Who do we serve? Do we follow God like the book says? Or do we hate that other stuff, that ministry that those prophets of Baal have? It's more flashy, you know, and who do we serve? And there was a showdown. High noon, whatever. They went up on the mountain. They had two sacrifices, one for God and one for the prophets of Baal. And for hours, the false prophets, they tried to make God send fire from heaven and prove that God accepts whatever sacrifice they had. And of course, they were false prophets, and God ignored them. But then when they were through, they were tired out, whatever, Elijah said, okay, it's my turn. And he repaired the altar of God. Then he said, hey, pour some water on it, buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets of water. Pour water on this sacrifice. And then he said, okay, Lord, please show the people who they should serve and turn their hearts back again to you. And we're in 1 Kings 18, but it says in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell from heaven and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it even licked up the water, or burnt up the water that was in the trench. And everybody agreed, hey, I know who to serve now. The God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's serve him. He is the God. And the false prophets of Baal were not. And this is the judgment, part of the judgment. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, don't let any of them escape. And he took them, and they went to the brook Kishon, and he killed every one of them. 400 prophets of Baal, there were 450 other prophets, I don't know if they got killed too, but he killed them. Oh, that's horrible. He killed them because they were leading God's people astray. And he took care of the problem. But the next chapter, chapter 19 of 1 Kings, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done and how he had slain or killed all the prophets, Jezebel's prophets, with the sword. And Jezebel said, oh yeah? And she sent a message to Elijah, says, hey, you killed my prophets, I'm going to kill you. And in verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, or we say in America, he ran for his life, afraid that he was going to be killed. And it says in verse 4, he went about a day's journey away into the wilderness, and he sat under this juniper tree, whatever a juniper tree is, and he asked God, hey, just let me die. Take my life. I'm not any better than my father's. Just go ahead and let me die. And I'm hurrying, and I don't have the time, but you can compare what Elijah said to what Israel said, as we'll see in a minute. But let's refocus a little bit. Matthew 11, the chapter we're studying. Now when John had heard in the prison all the things that Jesus did, he sent two disciples and said, hey, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus said in verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. You know, we think we know this or that. We think we know, but often God has different ideas. You'd like your thing to go this way, your life to go this way. You get your thing planned out or whatever, and God says, no, I've got another way. But in Acts 5, the apostles, they were preaching, winning a bunch of people to the Lord, and the high priest said, oh, we got to stop that. And he had them arrested in verse 17 and 18, and they put the apostles in prison. Ooh, John was in prison. Yeah, well, all of this is a parallel. And they were trying to decide what to do and how to punish them. And it talks of Gamaliel. He stepped up and had something to say. And in verse 40 and 41 again of Acts chapter 5, everybody agreed with Gamaliel and his advice. And then they beat the apostles, whipped them or whatever the case, and said, look, y'all stop preaching. And then they let them go. Well, John was beheaded, but he wasn't beaten. His suffering lasted just a minute, but they were beaten, and I'm sure it hurt for a month. The wounds had to heal, or whatever the case, but they suffered. And in verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the Lord's name. And then they went right back to preaching. This is what God had for them. This is what God had for them. They were beaten for his name, and they rejoiced. They were happy. They were happy. And they thank God that they were beaten. and that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. That's a wonderful attitude. That's a wonderful attitude. Now let's contrast that with Israel murmuring in the desert. And I want to look at Numbers chapter 20 and then Exodus chapter 17. It tells the same story, essentially. In Numbers 20, they were in the desert and they were thirsty. There wasn't any water. There wasn't a river or a lake or a stream or nothing like that, or no well. There wasn't any water. They were in the desert and they were thirsty. Okay, fine, they were thirsty, but they chode with Moses, it says. They complained and gave Moses grief. Again, in Numbers chapter 20, verse 3, they said, "Would to God we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up into this wilderness, that our cattle and us should die out of thirst? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? What's the deal? Why did you bring us to this evil place? There's nothing here, and we're going to die of thirst." Not, "Lord, we're so thankful that we can suffer for your name. I know they beat us, it hurts, whatever." But they rejoiced, the apostles did, for what God provided. But Israel, when they were thirsty, they blamed Moses, they blamed God. They said all kind of nasty stuff. Their heart was wrong. Their heart was wrong. And if you go to Exodus chapter 17, it's the same thing. It's the same, even the same words, the same complaints. This was weeks or months or whatever after they had been delivered from Egyptian bondage. They built the pyramids. They were slaves. Yeah, the pyramids in Egypt, they built them as slaves. And God brought them out, delivered them. And they're on their way to the promised land, but they had to go through the desert. And they were thirsty. And they said the same things. Even the language, the word chode, is used in verse 2 of Exodus. "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, give us water that we may drink." And Moses said, "Hey, why are you tempting the Lord? Why don't you trust him? You're thirsty? Why don't you pray? Why don't we pray and ask God to provide?" They didn't want to do that. They wanted to complain. Both instances, in Exodus 17 and in Numbers 20, there's a difference. There's a difference between the two events. The first time in Exodus 20, again, right out of Egypt, everybody knew that God had delivered them that Passover night. And they were complaining, whatever, stupid, honestly. But that's what they were doing. And God said, "Hey, Moses, it'll be all right. I'm going to satisfy the thirst of the people. Look, take your stick, that shepherd's rod, that staff, and bring all of the elders of the children of Israel. We're going to come to this rock, and you take your stick and smack it real good." And he did that. He smote the rock. He hit the rock, and out of that rock came a river in the desert, enough to slake the thirst of 3.5 million people and all of their cattle. A great miracle indeed, that God can provide for our needs. God can provide for all of our needs if we'll trust him. But it took that rock being hit or smitten Isaiah 53 that Jesus, the rock, was smitten of God. In other words, this rock being struck. We know that Jesus is the rock, but he was struck. He was nailed to the cross, and he died for us. It's a symbol, it's a type, what Moses did. It symbolizes Christ. A great miracle, indeed, in response to the people not praying and asking, Lord, please provide, but the people murmuring and blaming Moses and blaming God for their predicament. Okay, so time passes. Months, years, I don't know. They were in the desert 40 years. I don't know exactly. But some period of time passes, probably at least months. They're thirsty again in Numbers chapter 20. They're in a different town. They were in Rephidim, and now they're in Kadesh. And they're thirsty again, and they have the same complaint. Now, remember, they had been satisfied when they were thirsty last time. God performed a miracle. They were thirsty. Ooh, God gave us something to drink. Hey, we remember. I mean, we complained last time, but we remember what... No, they didn't do the right thing. They complained and blamed God the first time they were thirsty, and they forgot all about it. And they blamed God again. And we're saying that God's provision was evil and that God brought them here to kill them. Why didn't they remember? Why didn't they remember? I don't know, but this seemed to be a habit with them. And God says, okay, whatever. Look, I'm going to take care of it. Moses, you take Aaron, you take that stick, and you go to that rock, and don't hit it. Speak to it. We already hit the rock last time. Jesus already went to the cross and died once and for all, the apostle said. Jesus only had to die once, but it says that he didn't do what God said. He sort of rebuked the people, called them a bunch of rebels, and then said, do we, us, me and Aaron and God, have to bring water out of the rock? Well, that was wrong. He shouldn't have said that, because it's God's provision, and Moses and Aaron are just servants. But he elevated himself. And then it says he struck the rock twice. But you see, Jesus, he was only struck once. He only died once. He doesn't have to be crucified again and again and again and again every Sunday at the Mass. We only have to speak to Christ. We only have to believe that he died for us and speak. Ask, Lord, please save, or please provide, or please whatever. But Moses struck that rock twice. And we can read the rest of the chapter, Numbers chapter 20. God was angry with Moses because he struck the rock twice. And it's a plain symbol and type of Calvary. And God said, because you did that, you disobeyed me, you didn't believe, you hit the rock anyway a second time, and I told you just to speak to it. Because of that, Moses, the children of Israel are going to go into the promised land, and Joshua is going to lead them there, but you're not going to go. Moses, you're not going to get in. And Aaron, he's not going to lead them. He's not going to go either. Neither one of y'all are going to see the promised land. and Aaron died, and shortly after, Moses died. Moses, the deliverer, and Aaron, his brother, they failed. They never made it to the promised land. But you see, that's a picture. That's a picture. Moses, the lawgiver, Moses represents the law itself, but the law cannot save. We're saved not by keeping law. We're saved by faith. And the law was a schoolmaster which brought us to Christ. The law can't take us to heaven. The law cannot save. It points out our sin and our need for a Savior. But Jesus Christ, the one that hung and bled and died on Mount Calvary, He can take us to heaven. Again, we're not saved by works or by keeping the law or doing a bunch of rules. We're saved by believing that Jesus kept the rules for us. But Moses, one little slip, it cost him the promised land. Let's keep that in mind. And when circumstances come to bear that we don't like, things didn't go the way we want, why don't we thank God and pray and ask His help? And certainly, let's not blame Him for the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Let's have the right response, because God can provide. If we'll but trust Him, bring our problems to Him, and believe. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.